I thank God that we have a church family that does that. We have friends that do that also. And it's just a blessing to be that. You know, the world is very religious, brother. And but you know what they say. Religion is man doing something for God. But Christianity is God doing something for man. And that's the difference. That's the difference. And I'm glad that God has revealed to me the difference in how I needed him, and I still need him in my life every day, and I'm glad to understand that. Well, it's good to see you today. Hope you're feeling fine. Everybody feeling okay? Good enough to be in God's house anyway, huh? And that's good. Good to see Kelly back from wherever, but I'm glad to have him back, and others that were out maybe last week, glad to have you all back, and trusting God for a good day today in his house. You like this fall weather? I tell you, I do. Sleep better, feel better, sometimes even act better. You know, but it's always good to have a change. And God knows what we need. And I'm so glad that he does, and he offers that to us. We've been talking for the last few weeks, last week especially, about understanding the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. And last week we talked about what is the fear of the Lord? And today I want to continue, I hope we'll conclude, on today also to talk about why should we fear the Lord? Why should we fear the Lord? And also the benefits for fearing the Lord. There are many benefits. Our relation to God as Christians, as our Father, and also as our Master, literally constrains us to fear him and to honor him. To fear him and to honor him. We'll talk about that today. Last week we talked about the example of the first fear mentioned in the Bible, which was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We talked about the event, how what took place there as Satan come to Eve and told her, if you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open, and you'll be as God. Well, we saw last week their eyes were open, but Satan told a lie. They were not as gods. There was fear and grief set in because of them disobeying God. So we see that sin was followed also by an awareness of God was now displeased with them. God was not happy with them because they disobeyed him. Also, we see that sin was followed also by now they're in fear of judgment from God. And also, sin was followed by the fact that the judge is approaching them. God is going to meet them. God is going to come back to them. So we see because of them eating of the fruit that was forbidden them to eat, this took place in their lives. This took place in their lives as individuals. Now, if we as sinners, and by the way, there are two classes of people in the world today. There are lost sinners and saved sinners. We all are sinners, no matter who we are. But if we as sinners today will consider where we are as individuals, if we are saved or if we are lost, if we will consider where we are as sinners, I'm afraid all of us would not rest until we come to God. Come to God is who we are. You know, it's good sometimes to take an inventory of ourselves, to check things out, see where we stand, you know, before God, and realize that we need to approach him. We need to approach him. Take your Bibles today, first of all, Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28, we're talking about today again, what is the fear of the Lord? We know the psalmist refers to it in Psalm 19, verse 9. He refers to the fear of the Lord as reverential trust with hatred of evil. Reverential trust with hatred of evil. Write that verse down and read it sometime. Psalm 19 and verse 1, verse 9. Psalm 19 and verse number 9. But we see here in Job chapter 28, we're going to read a verse of Scripture and have prayer. And then we're going to get in today into why should we fear the Lord? Why should we fear the Lord? Job 28 and verse 28. These are the words spoken. It says, and unto man he said, behold, take heed, behold. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. What's the next three words? That is wisdom. That is wisdom. He says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Is understanding. So we find here in this scripture how important it is. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Wisdom. It's good to fear the Lord. It's good to fear the Lord. I said last week that the fear of the Lord goes beyond, far beyond just respect to God. We should respect God. We should reverence God. But it's more than that. We're talking about the fear of the Lord. It's acknowledging and appreciating God for His holy hatred of evil. Holy hatred of evil. I'm glad that God hates evil. I'm glad He does. We also see that from the Scriptures, we find they present to us, the Scriptures do, a means by which we can keep from drawing close to sin. In other words, keeps us from sin. If we fear the Lord, we won't want to sin and do wrong, as we find in our lives many times. Fear, what does it do? It presents a dread to being displeased to God. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. They were sorry. Now they displeased God. And fear gave them that displeasure of not obeying God. Fear also will helps us desire God's favor. I want God's favor in my life more than anything when I fear Him. When I fear Him. Fear will help us to submit cheerfully to God when fear is in our life as a Christian. Fear will also make us grateful for His benefits. For His benefits in our lives. Fear will also help us to obey His commandments. His commandments. I thank God for the Word of God, which is a schoolmaster to us to learn what sin is and what sin would do for us and to us as individuals, as people in the world today. Sin also is the beginning of, fear is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. And fear helps to control the walk of the Christian that wants to be led by the Spirit of God. Fear will help all of us in many ways as in our lives. Now, I know that God has not given us a spirit of fear. I know there's a difference here in what I'm talking about. I'm talking about respecting God, respecting His Word, and believe that, like I said last week, God said what He means and means what He says. And therefore, we are to take heed to what He's trying to teach us from the Word of God. Now, today, why should we fear God? Why should we fear God? Turn in your Bibles over a few pages to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Psalm, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. Why should we fear the Lord? Anybody have any thought on that? Why should we fear the Lord? A lot of thoughts, I'm sure. Keeps you from doing evil. Does that. Amen. But we find here in the Word of God that it's so important that we realize how we are to fear, not where to fear, we should fear the Lord. We see here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, look at verse number 13 and verse 14. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and verse 14. We see here in these verses two questions asked. What we are to do and what God is doing. What we are to do and what God is doing. Verse 12 and verse 13. Number one, first of all, what are we to do? Look at verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole what? Duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is the whole conclusion. All is vain in life, folks, as the psalmist, as a writer here in Ecclesiastes, all is vain apart from fearing God, from fearing God. Therefore, if the whole conclusion of the matter is, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is our duty. This is our duty as mankind, to fear God and to keep His commandments. Now, what God is doing, but God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God knows everything that I do. He knows everything that you do in your life. We must beware of this. We must beware of this. See, it is our duty. God is trying to get our duty to be our interest here. What is our duty? To fear God and keep His commandments. He's trying to get us to keep that as our interest. That's what we want to do in our lives as Christians, you see, to do this. So we need, first of all, why should we fear God? First of all, because it is a command. It's a command from God. Just like thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. It's a command to fear God. And you know, I said last week and how true it is, we fear probably God less today than man has ever feared God. We don't fear Him. We don't take Him at His word, you see. But it's only right that we do because of His glory and because of His holiness, of who He is. We should fear God. We should fear God. Secondly, we see that we should fear God because of His hatred for sin. His hatred for sin. I want you to turn back to Proverbs. Psalms and Proverbs, chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. God, folks, hates sin. Do you believe that? He hates sin. And may God get me to the point that I hate sin. And you to the point that you hate sin. Therefore, when we see things, we'll turn it off. We'll get our focus somewhere else. That's not proper. We need to do that. But we see here in the book of Proverbs, the fact that God hates sin. We have, I'm afraid, a casual attitude today towards sin because we see it so much, don't we? I mean, if we're not careful, it's going to become a natural thing to us. Well, that's the way the world is today, you know, and I have to accept it. No, we don't. We don't have to accept it. We may have to see things that we don't want to see, but we don't have to accept it. We don't have to accept it. We can avoid it. The Bible says abstain from the appearance of evil. You know, we don't have to dwell upon it. We don't have to meditate upon it. Let it get into our minds, into our bodies, and act it out. But we need to take heed to sin and what sin will do. We need to understand what God thinks of sin. And when we understand what God thinks of sin, it'll help us to fear God. Folks, it'll help us to fear God. But until we acknowledge what God thinks of sin, how He hates it, we'll never fear Him like we should and like He wants us to. In Proverbs chapter number 6, look at it. Look at verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord what? Hate. These six things doth the Lord hate. You think God is just a God of love? That's not what the Bible says, is it? Here are some things He literally hates. He hates these things, six of them here. Now notice what they are. The first one is a proud look. A proud look. God says, I hate a proud look. Pride. God does not like pride. Pride goes before destruction, Holy Spirit before a fall, the Bible tells us. So we see, first of all, that God hates a proud look, a lying tongue. God hates this, folks. He hates this. A proud look and lying tongue. Notice also, hands that shed innocent blood. People that murder people. Nowadays, they think nothing of it. They think they killed a rabbit. You know, really, they do. Rather than an individual. God says, I hate hands that take innocent blood. I hate it. I hate it. Notice what else He says. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Oh my. Isn't it easy for Satan to give us a thought sometimes that literally gives us a wicked imagination? It is, folks. We may not admit it, but Satan can put it in our mind just like that. And God says, I hate it. And you know what? We need to learn to hate it too. So much that when it comes into my mind, something comes into my mind, my imagination, I say, get thee hence, Satan. Get out of me. I don't want that in my mind. Get it out of me. You know, God says, I hate these things. Feet that be swift to running into mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. Gossip. All this kind of stuff. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. These are things that God hates. God hates these things. Now, the question is this. Do I hate these things? Do I hate these things? God help us that we get the right attitude towards sin. And how sin will destroy us, people. It may not suddenly, but it will eventually. It'll hurt you. It'll affect you in a negative way. Sin will. All of us in our lives. This is why we should fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. May God help us to do this today. Also, we should fear the Lord. Also, because He deserves it. He deserves it, folks. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and everyone that dwells therein. Listen, this is God's place. Amen. We just haven't, God had given us a place to live just temporarily. But the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all they that dwell therein. Therefore, He deserves our fear. We need to fear Him. We need to fear Him because it all belongs to Him. We need to recognize His control, and that gives us focus to properly fear Him when we recognize that He's in control. Therefore, we need to fear God. When tragedy comes in our lives, man, it wakens us up. I talked with a brother just this week. All the floods going up the East Coast this week, it all took place. I talked to a pastor friend of ours, Brother John Keeter. He was here during camp meeting. He said, but all year and he preached. His church got flooded. I just talked to him about it this Friday. And he said, you know, these things will make you think, you know, what is going on, you know? Thank God it wasn't too much damage, but they had enough damage. They had a slab like we got here, and the water came in on the floor and up to and some of the Sunday school rooms around the paneling got messed up a little bit. But the big thing is the water on the carpet, on the floor. You know, but he said that this town down here just shut down. I mean, towns all over the East Coast this week have shut down because of all these things that's going on. And the sad thing is, you know, no matter what God does today, if it's a flood, if it's an earthquake, no matter what it is, it doesn't cause people to fear God anymore. No more. Oh, he maybe for a few hours, but then it's over with. We're back to normal thinking, you know. We're back to normal thinking, you see. God is in control. God can take my life whenever He wants to. And He will. He'll take your life. See, God is in control of us, and we need to realize this today. This is why we should fear the Lord. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 12. Look at what Jesus has. He counseled His disciples, what He said about fearing, about who we are to fear. In Luke chapter 12. Jesus is speaking. Luke chapter 12, verse 4. Luke 12, verse 4, and I say unto you, my friends. Now, Jesus is speaking to His friends. Notice He says, be not afraid of them that can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Okay? But I forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear Him which after He hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him. Now who is Him? God. He's saying, don't fear man, but fear God. That's what Jesus is saying. He's forewarning us to realize this and how we should realize. He's counseling His disciples here of fear and how the power, the one that has the power to literally destroy and cast into hell, that's the one you're to fear. That's the one you're to fear, you see. So we see here, why should we fear the Lord? Why should we fear the Lord? It's very important today to realize this. Now, I want to go to the second question today as we conclude on this thing about fear. Now, what are the benefits when we fear the Lord? What is it going to help? How is it going to help me? What am I going to get out of fearing the Lord? First of all, there was a lot of reasons why we should fear the Lord. That's for sure. But I want you to turn back to Psalms chapter 112. Some of the benefits of fearing the Lord. Psalm 112. We see here the relationship of an individual that has fear, that fears the Lord. Notice our relations change when we fear the Lord. First of all, it changed to God. In verse number 1 of Psalm 112, we see our relationship to the Lord. He says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." First of all, what do we see here? We see here that the relationship to the Lord, person that fears the Lord, he respects the Bible. Okay? He respects the commands of God. That's what it says. He reads the Bible and he rejoices in the fact of the principles that God is teaching him, that he can apply these principles in his life. That's one of the blessings of fearing God. We take God literally. Again, as I've said so many times, what he says, he means. What he means, he says. He wants this book to become part of our life. Not, wait, let me back up. He wants this book to become our life. Not part of our life, but our life. And therefore, when we fear God, we're going to respect God's word. We're going to love God's word. We're going to want to understand and read God's word. And therefore, we find that that will help us. We're going to rejoice in the fact that we have the word of God to help us in our life. I'm so glad we do, aren't you? I'm so glad we have instructions from God, from his book, that we can read and get instructions and guidance in our life. So we see the person that fears God, the relationship with the Lord, he respects the Bible, he respects he reads the Bible, and he rejoices in what he reads and wants to apply these principles in his own life. We also see another benefit in verse number 2. Let's read it. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. In other words, his relation to his family is going to be what it ought to be, the man that fears God, the person that fears God. The relationship to the family now. First of all, was a relationship to the Lord when we fear him. But now, our relationship to the family, we see here, a position of authority, a position here, a pattern here of an example, and pleasant to overcome. When we fear God, when we respect God and fear God, it makes everything different in the home. It makes everything different in the home. The husband will love his wife the way he should. The wife will submit to her husband the way they should. The children will obey the parents the way they should when we all fear God. But when we don't, there's chaos. Everything goes wrong. Everything goes wrong, you see. There's no order. There's no pattern of example, okay? There's no pattern of example here. And there's no results because we don't fear God. But when we fear God, there's great results. There's great results. We also see in verse number 3, the man that fears God, when we fear God, our relationship to our money, to our wealth. Look at verse number 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Right? Riches and righteousness does not always go together. Riches and righteousness always go together. Most time it's different. It's entirely different because riches become God's people's possessions rather than God. They worship their possessions more than they worship God. And that happens sometimes. But prosperity results from biblical principles, not from worldly ideas and thoughts. But it comes from biblical principles. And we see this throughout the scriptures. Also, our relationship to others. When we fear God, our relationship to others is what it ought to be. It's what it ought to be. Listen, I don't know about you. I want to treat people right, don't you? I think most everybody here does. Everybody here does. I want to treat people right. I'll never know how sometimes, like you're talking about this guy. We'll never know how to treat that kind of person. We'll never know how to even approach that kind of person unless we fear God. And realize I'm doing this for God because God wants me to do this. This is important. What I'm fixing to do. What I'm fixing to do is the most important thing in my life and that guy's life. Is to talk to him about the Lord. Talk to him about the Lord. And in doing this, look at verse number 4. We see, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. In other words, people that fear the Lord, there's light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. We see these three things are in the life of our relationship when it comes to others. We will be gracious, there's compassion, and there's uprightness, there's righteousness, knowing how to deal with people. And that's needed more probably today than it's ever been needed, is how to talk to people. How to talk to people, because people are turning you off so fast. You know, people get offended over anything today. God help us to be more like this. We also see our relationship to our duty. Verse number 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth, he will guide his affairs with discretion. Discretion. We find here our duty. He shows favor and generosity. He is diligent and he is discreet in his affairs in life. A man that fears God, a Christian that fears the Lord, he's going to be this way. He's going to be this way. Notice his relationship to standards. The person that fears God, look at verse number 6. Verse number 6, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Standards. Standards are not talked about much today, but standards are certainly needed today, folks. There are certain things that we need to stand for and stand upon them and not let nobody move us. Things that we believe. Things that we believe. There are things that you've been taught from a youngster, me too, that I believed all my life and I still believe today and I always believe until I die. And they're based upon the principles of God's Word, you know? And I'm not going to move. I'm not going to move. That song, I shall not be moved, you know? Well, there are some things we don't need to move on, but yet there are things that we need to move away from too. So we need to get a balance here also. We also see in verse number 7, the man that fears God, his relationship to the troubles that he faces in life. Verse number 7, he shall not be afraid of evil things. His heart is fixed, trusting in who? The Lord. The Lord. Trusting in the Lord. When we fear God, we trust him. There's a reverential trust that we have with him, no matter what troubles we go. There's fearless in the times of trouble. There is fixed upon pressures in life, will stand upon the Lord and upon his word, and therefore we shall not be moved. Also, we also see his relationship to his enemies in verse number 8. A man that feareth God, look at verse number 8, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. His enemies. We find here that the man that fears God is anchored in faith. He's anchored in faith. He's trusting God. He's assured of his victory. He's assured that his enemies are not going to take him. They're not going to take him. You know the best thing I've learned in my life the hard way? When you know you have an enemy, the best thing you can do for him is to pray. Sometimes I try to talk to them, but it doesn't work. It's like most time in talking to them makes it worse. But the best thing I can do, and you can do with our enemies, is to pray for them. To pray for them. I mean, pray that God would, if they're not saved, to save them. If they are saved, that God would give us, me and that enemy, whoever that person may be, a relationship that we've never had before. we never have before. And we need to pray for this. We need to pray for our enemies. We all have enemies. We may not know yet, but we do. The world is certainly our enemy. The things that are going on out there. We need to pray for our enemies. The enemies that we have to face with every day. Also, the man that feareth the Lord, in verse number 9 and 10, we see his relationship to giving. His relationship to giving. Look at verse 9. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever, his horn shall not be exalted with honor, the wicked shall see it and be grieved, he shall gnash with his teeth and melt away, the desire of the wicked shall perish. The generosity and giving will bring honor. The generosity of giving will bring honor. We also see the envious will greed and gnash their teeth. They'll gnash their teeth, you see. I don't know about you, but I want to fear God. I want to fear Him. Because of the benefits, I want to fear Him because of who He is. He's in control. He is the ruler of this world, and He deserves our fear. He really does. The fear of the Lord is often misunderstood today. Fear God because He'll kill you. Well, no, God don't kill us. God takes us home eventually. But God doesn't kill us. We all have a date to die, but we need to fear God. But it is most often misunderstood, but it is one of the most crucial ingredients in the life of a Christian to live a godly and a prosperous life. We need to fear God. We need to fear God. It's our duty to fear God. It's our duty as a believer to fear God. But seeing the results of fearing God, that's more important because, see, that produces us even more reason why we should walk and fear God because of the results from fearing God in our life as our duty. May the Lord help us. It's our whole duty is summed up in this, folks. Solomon gave it to us. Fear God and keep His commandments. Not only is it our whole duty, but it's also our whole comfort is bound upon this. Our whole comfort is bound upon this, to fear God and keep His commandments. May the Lord help us today. May it be grounded in our hearts to fear Him and to love Him the way He wants us to do this today. Now, I want you to turn back to Proverbs. We're talking about our duty is to fear God. We're talking about, to begin with, Job says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." That is wisdom. Now, we see here in Proverbs also, as we conclude today, about wisdom and about fearing the Lord, how important it is to be wise enough to fear God. To be wise enough to fear Him. We see in Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse number 13. Wisdom. Wisdom is so important. The man that fears God will have wisdom. Proverbs 3 verse 13. What's the first word? Happy. Happy is the man that findeth what? Wisdom. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Okay? Happy is the man that fears God. Happy is the man that has wisdom. Solomon is writing here. Notice he says, "The findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. It is more valuable to us than anything in this world, wisdom and understanding, the fear of God. Better than silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious, that is wisdom, she is more precious than what? Rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto wisdom. Notice, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy, there again, is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord, by what? Wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Words of wisdom. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. That is wisdom. That is wisdom. And depart from evil. That is understanding. That is understanding. Yes, what is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? My, we need to take heed. It's simply trusting God and hating evil. Trusting God and hating evil. That's fearing God. That's fear of the Lord. Why should we fear God? Because He commands us to. Because He commands us to. Because of His hatred for sin. And because He deserves it. He deserves it. Now, why? What are the benefits? We read them in Psalm 112. All the benefits, some of the benefits, just some of the benefits of fearing God. I don't know about you. I will take my chances fearing God. Knowing I'm doing what I can to honor Him and to glorify Him. And because of that, it's going to benefit me. It's going to help me. Not that I might be proud about it, but that I might help other people. That's why we're helped anyway in this world. You know that? That we might help other people. May the Lord help us today as we look at this fearing God. Fearing God. I trust it's been a help to you. Hope it's been an encouragement to you as we've been through it together. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the Word of God that we have to read, to share together. And God, I pray now, Lord, as we've read this today, we've talked about fearing you, God, that you might instill in our hearts and our minds, God, the importance of this. God, that we might be better what you want us to be. And God, realize that you are in control. And God, you certainly deserve all of our thoughts, all of our minds, everything about us you deserve because you made us. So Father, help us to be what you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to be what is best, Lord, for other people too, that others may come to know Christ. Father, we commit now the service we're about to go into your hands. God bless the singing. Lord, bless the preaching of your word today. God, help someone here today to be encouraged. Those that may be lost, I pray they might be saved. But most of all, Father, we want you to be glorified. And all this done, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.